Void Crew's bridge was a symphony of static and hum, where the reactor core's resonance harmonized with the occasional clatter of a misaligned tool. Chasks, the de facto strategist, leaned against the control panel, his fingers dancing over holographic schematics like a conductor orchestrating chaos. "I'll take engineer," he declared, his voice steady, still fumbling with the payload launcher squinted at the interface. "Okay, I learned how to build them," he muttered, but didn't know how to disassemble them. The bridge's flickering lights cast shadows across his face, as if the ship itself were rolling its eyes. Big Dog 2330, piloting with caffeinated intensity, interjected. "Should we find a different ship, given there are four of us?" Chasks waved a hand dismissively, his tone equal parts mentor and conspiracy theorist. "Let's stick with this one. It's a little easier with four, but it'll be a good learning experience for Will, too." Dick Nixon 726, seated in the gunner's chair, grumbled, "Yeah, breaking me in on this one." The ship's AI, Jennifer, hummed in approval, her voice a mechanical mum. Their camaraderie, however, was briefly interrupted by a story Theo's mother would have been proud of. Dick Nixon 726 recounted, with the grim solemnity of a war veteran, "Theo gets the bead out of his ear tomorrow or Thursday. It's been up there for a month." Big Dog 2330 eyes widened. "What, is it plastic?" "A plastic bead," Dick Nixon 726 confirmed. "They couldn't scrape it out, had to put him under. Anesthesiology was like, we aren't touching that with a 10-foot pole." Chasks snorted. "Dad, you're talking about his ear," he joked, though the crew's collective discomfort lingered like a phantom limb. The mission selection screen flickered to life, casting neon blue light across their faces. "I don't know," Big Dog 2330 said, squinting at the options. "Nothing's really jumping out at me. I guess the hard one." Chasks leaned in, his voice dropping to a conspiratorial whisper. "Do we have anyone to rescue us?" Dick Nixon 726 checked his inventory. "Yeah, but we're missing the blueprints for you." The tension dissolved into laughter as they settled on a hard level, salvage mission, destroy crates to find a relic. "Salvage, let's go," Chasks said, already heading to the repair bay. "I'm going to try and fix the exterior hull." Their strategy session devolved into a mix of technical jargon and absurdity. Dick Nixon 726, now in full gunner mode, mused, "Do we need to build another reactor so that we can have two guns on at once?" Chasks waved him off. "No, if we're overpowered, the breakers will trip. I can monitor the breakers." Meanwhile, Gerald Grin, piloting with the grace of a caffeinated orangutan, grumbled about his throat canker sores. "Ah, man," he groaned. "Since I've had that fever, I've developed canker sores in my throat." As the crew finalized their roles, the ship's reactor pulsed with a low, rhythmic beat, like a heart preparing to race. Chasks, ever the pragmatist, issued one final order. "I'll repair the ship after we land." The words hung in the air, a promise and a warning. Somewhere in the void, the hollow stirred. To be continued, next. The crew jumps into a minefield of data shards, dodging snipers and salvaging a relic that might, or might not, be a key to the garden. Will their new shield hold? And who will accidentally fire a missile into Big Dog 2330 cockpit this time? Chapter 2. Purge the infestation and other existential threats. The Void Crew's ship, a patchwork of duct tape and questionable engineering decisions, hummed through the asteroid field like a drunkard's lullaby. The bridge was a symphony of chaos. Gerald Grin's throaty coughs punctuated the static of the comms. Dick Nixon 726 grumbled about fucking Gatling guns. And Big Dog 2330, fueled by six cups of interstellar coffee, muttered, "We've got fighters, Gerald." Chasks, the self-appointed tactician, glared at the tactical grid as if it owed him money. "Did you see that? I might have done it before you arrived," Chasks said, jabbing a finger at the holographic map. The ship's AI, a sardonic entity named Jennifer, beeped unhelpfully in the background. The infestation briefing the mission: purge a derelict facility of hostile biomass. The catch? The facility was orbiting a sun that hated them. "We've got a wrecked ship component," Big Dog 2330 said, slapping the throttle with the enthusiasm of a man who'd once tried to pilot a ship with a spatula. "It's a tech container, all right, everyone," snorted. "This Benediction Mark II is impressive." "Not bad," Chasks said, eyeing the power grid like a ticking bomb. "Rob, disengage your weapon. You're draining the port side." "It's active. I want to switch it back off, Rob. Let me know when," Chasks insisted, as Dick Nixon 726 fired a burst that accidentally set the left thruster on fire. "Oh, friendly fire. Damn," Dick Nixon 726 muttered, as Gerald Grin, still wheezing from his Z-Pack life, muttered, "Watch that sniper, Robert." Combat. The art of improvisation. The fight began with a summoner, a grotesque mass of biomass that spat at them like a caffeinated toad. Grizzly, the ship's EVA, extravehicular activity specialist, was ejected mid-sentence. "What the fuck?" Grizzly shouted, floating in space like a disgruntled astronaut. It just sent me back to the ship. Big Dog 2330, piloting with the precision of a man who'd once crashed into a moon, barked, "Get back inside, Chris. Come on." Chasks, meanwhile, was coordinating repairs while muttering about power constraints and Meetum's blessing. "I've got the Monculus," Geralgrin said, firing an energy cannon that missed by a parsec. "I think a summoner is approaching, possibly." Dicknixon 726, ever the optimist, said, "You've got to destroy it." They did. Technical difficulties and comedic relief as Grizzly was ejected. For the second time, the AI had a glitch. The crew scrambled. "Where is he?" Chasks demanded, as Big Dog 2330 shouted, "I have no idea. I'm on the exterior, I'm getting hit," Grizzly screamed. "I failed my duty," Chasks said, facepalming. "We've lost power. Disengage your weapons," he added, as the ship's shields flickered like a dying disco ball. Upgrades and inner monologues post-battle, the crew gathered in the workshop, which smelled of burnt alloy and regret. "We don't have it yet, but I think Grizz and I can cover the left side if needed," Big Dog 2330 said, as Dicknixon 726 recycled a benediction Mark I with the solemnity of a priest burning incense. Chasks meanwhile plotted, "We can build Mark II components." Geralgrin, who just finished a Z-Pak life of antibiotics, muttered, "I think I actually have more energy reserves." As they debated weapon placements, the AI chirped, "Moximity mines," and the crew erupted into laughter. Cliffhanger and transition, the mission ended with a MedAm supply drop, a phrase that made Big Dog 2330 grin like a man who just discovered the power of caffeine. "Good work, boyos," he said, as Grizzly, still shaken from his ejection, muttered, "I forget about him a lot." But as the ship's AI scanned for new threats, a red dot blinked on the grid. "What's that?" Chasks asked, voice tight. "That's a Void Harbinger," Geralgrin said, "and it has a surprise for us. To be continued in Chapter 3, The Prism Matriarch and a Fond Farewell. Chapter 3, Prism and Peril I. Initial chaos and equipment malfunctions, the Void cruise ship shuddered like a drunk dancer on a wobbly stage, its hull groaning under the weight of a malfunction surge. Chasks, perched at the engineering console, muttered, "What is happening?" as Grizzly's jetpack sputtered and spat sparks like an irate toaster. You might have broken my jetpack," Grizzly grunted, drifting sideways in zero-g. "I'm probably going to get killed by baddies. Okay." Big Dog 2330, piloting like a caffeinated squirrel, yelped, "I'm sorry, I was scared. There were lasers coming at me," before veering into a support beam. Geralgrin, ever the pragmatist, deadpanned, "An incoming malfunction surge is detected," as if announcing a holiday. Chasks's inner monologue screamed, "This is why we can't have nice things," but his voice stayed calm. "We need to engage something. Someone get the meta supply drop." The cruise ship was a symphony of clunking metal and half-fixed systems, but somehow it held together like a patched-up toaster with a prayer. Aye, aye. Boss fight begins and early struggles the Prism Matriarch loomed ahead, a glittering, geometric nightmare with shields like a disco ball's glare. Big Dog 2330, gripping the controls, barked, "Oh my god, I can't believe we got that. A lot of that was my fault." As his erratic maneuvers sent Grizzly careening into a wall of debris. "Rob, angle a little more, Rob," Dicknixon 726 growled from the turret, his voice a mix of grit and grim humor. Chasks, mid-repair, snorted, "Everyone should take a turn on that gun." The crew's coordination was a slapstick ballet, Grizzly's jetpack flaring, Geralgrin's energy cannon misfiring, and Dicknixon's mines detonating in a chaotic symphony. Geralgrin's inner thoughts cycled through, "I'm unpowered, and Trey keeps me supplied," as he fumbled with a shuriken upgrade, muttering, "I believe it, though." "Aye, aye, aye. Engineering and repairs just one?" Geralgrin asked, eyeing a repair plate. Chasks, sweating but smirking, replied, "I'm on it. I can charge while handling other tasks." The crew's off-ship repairs became a frantic dance, Dicknixon fabricating hull kits, Grizzly grappling hooks, and Big Dog 2330 yelling, "I'm out of boosters. I need a recharge," Chasks's mind raced. "We need one too, maybe three repair kits. Deconstruct the Gatling, upgrade the cluster, prioritize the shields." The ship's systems whined like a fussy child, but the crew's camaraderie held it together, like a family trying to fix a broken heirloom. IV, shuriken upgrade and excitement, Geralgrin, now hyper-focused, grumbled, "Clearly load components. You have to remove the batteries." As he jury-rigged the shuriken into a weapon so absurd, it looked like a banana with a death wish. "Ooh, I like bananas," Big Dog 2330 chuckled, while Grizzly deadpanned, "Isn't that a terrible idea?" The upgraded shuriken hummed with malevolent energy, its battery drain a very significant cost that made Chasks wince. "Everyone should take a turn on that gun," Chasks repeated, as if it were a mantra. The crew's laughter echoed through the ship, a mix of nerves and triumph. V. Williams' departure and wrap-up, yawned, his voice tinged with regret. All right, boys, I'm out. 8.30 Eastern, 7.30 Central. The crew's farewell was a mix of grins and eye rolls. This was actually a ton of fun, he added, as the connection cut. Gerald Grin, now solo on repairs, muttered, sweet, while Big Dog 2330 chuckled. See you, William. The ship creaked, its systems stabilizing just as the Void Harbinger's shadow loomed on the radar. To be continued, next, the crew's upgraded Shuriken faces a new threat, the Void Harbinger, a leviathan of shadow and malice. Will their teamwork survive the next loop, or will the Hollow claim another star? End chapter 3, chapter 4. Ambush and the art of not getting ejected again. The Void crew hummed with the low, grumbling growl of a ship that had seen too many scrapes and not enough sleep. Chasks, perched at the helm like a nervous conductor, muttered to himself as he toggled power between thrusters and shields. Gerald Grin, still swaddled in a jury-rigged repair patch he dubbed the Sasquatch Wrap, complained about his body suit's glacial efficiency. Big Dog 2330, meanwhile, had already downed 3 energy boosters and was grinning like a man who just won a hefty bet. Damn it, Big Dog's voice cut through the static as a swarm of hostile fighters materialized on the radar. Why does this keep happening? No, wait. Oh, okay, that was me. Good, okay. It's okay, I went down. Gerald Grin slumped in his turret seat, his avatar flickering out in a burst of sparks. Because I hopped out of the gun to turn off, whatever. Turns out that was a mistake. Chasks didn't look up from his console. Let's fight. You died. I don't know that you can prevent that. His fingers danced across the controls, rerouting power to the Shuriken launcher, a weapon he'd lovingly called the Great Equalizer after it once reduced a rival cruise destroyer to confetti. The ambush was a chaotic ballet of near misses and questionable decisions. Big Dog's thrusters sputtered as he weaved between missiles, yelling, I need boosters. I'm going for it. All right, that should do. Where's the other one? While Gerald Grin lobbed Shuriken fire at the nearest shield node, only to yelp, try not to hit the ship, as a stray shot grazed the hull. Oh, shit. Almost gone. Grizzle Nizzle 415 voice crackled over the comms, his avatar blinking in and out of existence. Sorry, sorry. God, what's wrong with my turning? I think we've got enough to heal. Chasks finally declared, activating the automechanic drone. The machine whirred to life, its robotic arms dancing across the breached hull with the precision of a caffeinated surgeon. The AI's making me redundant. As the ship stabilized, the crew's banter turned to logistics. We're running the standard difficulty, Big Dog said, slapping the table. Because we've got 2 kinetic weapons and a Mark III energy gun. But the real fireworks came when Chin 6888 joined. Should I join? Oh, I can come. The new arrival's voice was a welcome, if slightly confused, addition as the crew debated ship upgrades. We can just return to the hub, Big Dog barked, already planning the next run. That's a good idea. The chapter closed with the Void crew preparing for a larger ship, their camaraderie intact despite the chaos. Gerald Grin, still wrapped in his Sasquatch wrap, quipped, I'll tell you who that damn Sasquatch is to blame. As the screen faded to black, the ship's thrusters roared, a promise that the next mission would be bigger, bolder, and almost certainly end with someone getting ejected again. To be continued, next, the crew upgrades to a frigate. Chin 6888 learns the hard way that bigger ship means more systems to break. And the Void Harbinger, it's still out there, watching.